Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody, to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you this weekend. Glad to have you all here with us. And if you are not here with us, well, then obviously you went to our website at MainStreetRadioNetwork.com, and they are the company that runs the show, so we appreciate, well, not runs the show, that they allow us to do the show, and we appreciate that on their dime, mind you. So show them some love at MainStreetRadioNetwork.com and give them some likes on their Facebook page at Main Street Radio Network or the Twitter page at Main Street Radio because, well, they're the ones who pay the bills around here. And, you know, sometimes they're the folks that they get their money from. Well, they don't really like the content of this program, but they stand fast behind us, and we appreciate that. That is Main Street Radio Network does, not the people who object to the content. So we appreciate that. But we also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. Silk or Joe Show now in its 10th year, going on to its 11th year very shortly, which means we came out in 2013. In one form or another, we've been around since then. Of course, it hadn't been Silk or Joe Show that entire time. That's only been a moniker for the last 2.5 years. So, very, very gracious of them to have us around for all this time, despite all the revamps this show has undergone. And we have our own social media pages to get out there too, mind you. Of course, there is Wimkin, W-I-M-K-I-N, at Main Street Radio Network, which is where, if I remember, you'll see posts about me. Of course, last weekend I could not do social media posts because, well, not just on Wimkin, but on our other outlet, Getter, G-E-T-T-R.com, at Silk or Joe Show, because I was otherwise indisposed due to damages from Tropical Storm Ophelia, and I just totally forgot to do any kind of social media posting, but there you go, that's what happens when storms come through and knock branches off. Anyway, so, on to the topics of today, because this week was very active too. I wouldn't say it was a tropical storm active, but it was pretty active. There was a New York judge that ruled that Trump inflated his property values. I'm sure you heard about that. Well, one of the values that judge named was Mar-a-Lago, so let's take a look at how credible this claim is. Now, homes around Mar-a-Lago that are 50 times smaller are going for $18 million, and the judge said that Trump's claim that his property, Mar-a-Lago, was worth $18 to $27 million is inflating it. Fraudulent. But how? Again, if something is undervalued by 40 times, I don't think it's overvaluing it, but this judge is a liberal Democrat, so, you know, you're not going to get an equal justice from a leftist judge. They're just going to say whatever convicts the person they think is evil and make outrageous, outlandish claims like a massive property like Mar-a-Lago is worth, you know, it's like 20, 30 acres or something, and the judge is saying that it's worth the same as properties around it that are a quarter of an acre or half an acre. Okay, that's what the judge is trying to say, and that's actually worth less than that. And, you know, it's also a New York judge, too, so you'd think that they'd have some inflated concept of what property values are, you know, because of how expensive things are in New York City. But, again, it's a Democrat judge, so what do you expect, right? like I've been saying about all these charges and indictments against Trump, if you get a Democrat judge, if you get Democrat juries, they're going to win. It doesn't matter that they're absolute nonsense. They could be, now hypothetically, some of these could be true, yes. But it wouldn't matter if they were true or not, because as we're seeing with this property value thing, if it's a Democrat judge, forget it. If it's a Democrat jury, forget it. You're just going to get a conviction because that's what they want. It's a show trial. Doesn't matter what evidence you present to the contrary, they're just going to ignore it because they don't want fairness or justice. They want punishment and they want to destroy their political opponents. That's what this whole thing is about. That's why all of these attorneys are focusing their attention on Trump. And that is, unfortunately, the sad state of our justice system, how partisan it has become, where you can almost guarantee that you're not going to get a fair trial if you can look at the politics of your own compared to the politics of your judge. Now, people might be wondering, well, just how extremist are the Democrats out there? Well, you know, there's some polls out there that give away their attitudes there. Actually, it was interesting. Earlier this week, James Carville, he was interviewed by Bill Maher on his podcast, and both of them are notable liberals, right? So James Carville, he comes out, he's a Democrat strategist, he comes out and he says that only 10 to 11% of Democrats say that they're progressive liberals. Well, here's the problem with that claim, that it's only 10% or 11%. You know, you're sitting here listening to me talking about all these judges and juries that Trump is going against that are convicting him based on no evidence and making up stuff in the court just to get convictions. And you're thinking, oh, gee whiz, how can that be only 10%? Well, he must be lying or something, or I must be lying. One of those two. So Rasmussen, we have this poll that I keep mentioning from January of 2022. 55% of Democrats want the unvaccinated to be fined. 59% of Democrats want the unvaccinated at least confined to their homes forever. 48% of Democrats think publicly questioning the vaccine should lead to prison time. 45% of Democrats want concentration camps for the unvaccinated. 47% of Democrats want the government to track the unvaccinated. And 29% of Democrats think parents should lose custody of their kids if they're unvaxxed. So keep in mind at that point that we already knew that vaccines did not stop you from getting or transmitting COVID. Vaxxed members of the Biden administration already had COVID by the time this poll was done. Furthermore, keep in mind, Democrats use unvaccinated synonymously with Trump supporters. So you have concentration camps, digital tracking, permanent home confinement, imprisonment for a specific type of undesirable. Now that's a progressive and liberal idea right there. I mean, 48% want prison time for stating facts like you can get COVID if you are vaccinated. Again, progressive and liberal to criminalize the act of relaying factual information. So I would say that based on that poll, it's 48% of Democrats who are out there who are progressive and liberal and all that. Now, there's another poll, too, from July of 2019. We learned that one-third of Democrats, polled by Rasmussen again, said it is racist for a white politician to criticize a black politician. Meaning, hypothetically, if Mitt Romney said that Obama lied about being able to keep your doctor under Obamacare, you all remember that, right? Obama said repeatedly, if you like your doctor, you will be able to keep it. If you like your health care plan, you will be able to keep it. He was lying. He was full of it. He knew he was full of it. And he came out and admitted that he didn't admit that he lied. He just admitted that his statements weren't true. And that's a subtle difference right there. That, you know, he could, to him, that's implying that to him he wasn't lying, but he probably was lying. He knew all about it. Anyway, though, it took to call him out on such things, though, according to a third of Democrats, would be racist. Now, again, this poll was from July of 2019, a year before the George Floyd stuff and the summer of Black Lives Matter and the summer of state-sanctioned rioting. So seeing legitimate criticism as an act of racism is a progressive and liberal ideology. And again, James Carville said only 10% of Democrats are progressive, yet we see 3 to 5 times that percentage of espousing progressive beliefs between the polls that I just mentioned. One third of them saying that it's racist to criticize a black politician for any reason if you're a white politician. And the same, and then you also have all the ones who have those very left-wing ideas about authoritarian measures against people who state facts about the vaccine. 48% want prison time if you say that the vaccine does not stop you from getting COVID? Come on. Progressive ideals on display by Democrats. And they all, I mean, that's perhaps, though, that these polls are too general. Maybe we should look to see if these are applied somewhere, because surely if 10% only 10% are progressive, then progressive radicals wouldn't be elected. So maybe that's a better measure. Elections. District Attorney Evan Bragg was elected with a stated goal of making armed robbery a misdemeanor and politically prosecuting opponents of the Democratic Party. Again, progressive ideas make things make crimes not crimes unless they're done by your political opponents, who you go after with every zeal and fiber of your being. Progressives believe that putting a gun in your face and demanding your money or your life is less of a crime than being a Republican. So how did Alvin Bragg get elected if only 10% of the people voting for him were progressives? Right? And then just take a look at the other left-wing district attorneys out there who are cut from a similar cloth. Los Angeles, San Francisco, Fairfax, Virginia, Richmond, Virginia, Fulton County, Georgia. Maybe that's not too targeted despite the nationwide pattern, though. So let's take a look at the Democratic primary. That's nationwide and fairly inclusive. And Bernie Sanders ran as a socialist. That's another progressive belief. Well, Bernie got 26.9% of the delegates in the 2020 primary. And 74% of states, he had numbers above what James Carville claims. So if Carville's wrong 74% of the time, can we really cling to that 26% where he was right? And Bernie Sanders, by the way, actually won 14% of the states. He had 9 million votes from the delegates, or sorry, 9 million votes from the people who voted in the primaries. Now, if Carville was right, he'd have only 2.7 million. So we are, it's definitely a lot more than 10%. And I just did this in general because James Carville said that there are a lot of polls that say that only 10% of Democrats are progressive liberals. Well, very obviously, those polls are dead wrong, and don't believe it when you hear it. More Silk Road Joe Show after this.
Recent news reports are raising the alarm about illegal, disposable vapes in kid-enticing flavors that are pouring in from China. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan.
I lost my firstborn son, Drew, to an overdose, a tragedy no parent should experience. The FDA has started taking action against illegal, disposable vapes that could contain deadly fentanyl. Now, they need to get every one of these out of our communities.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
Funko, makers of the iconic pop collectibles, now lets people take personalized gifts to the next level with the launch of Pop Yourself. Pop collectibles traditionally feature the likeness of some of the biggest characters in popular culture, but now anyone can visit Funko.com to create a one-of-a-kind pop collectible of themselves, loved ones, or friends. The new line called Pop Yourself has remained the number one seller at Funko's two brick-and-mortar locations in California and Washington since 2021. The online launch now allows fans to create their own Poppelgangers with millions of combinations through personalized styles and accessories. Funko's Vice President of Pop Yourself, Dave Beret.
We're thrilled to launch Pop Yourself on Funko.com for our fans. With a touch of pop magic, the new line gives fans the value of preserving their key life moments, including current interests, graduations, birthdays, baby reveals, and more.
To Pop Yourself, visit Funko.com.
The American Red Cross says it is responding to nearly twice as many large disasters as it did a decade ago. The climate crisis has sparked a surge in hurricanes, wildfires, floods, and other extreme disasters. So the nonprofit is launching an ambitious plan to meet this growing need. Trevor Riggin is president of humanitarian services at the American Red Cross.
We're racing to adapt our disaster response services and grow our capacity to support families and communities devastated by extreme weather. Our changing climate is creating a humanitarian crisis for the people who depend on us for help. And as fast as we are working to adapt, the needs are escalating faster. This new reality is beyond anything that we've experienced before. We have to act now, and we need your help.
Volunteers represent 90% of the Red Cross workforce. You can help by making a donation, or consider becoming a Red Cross volunteer. To learn more, visit redcross.org.
Moms know it's the little things that matter most. A kiss for skinned knees, a hug for hurt feelings, and the small acts that keep families healthy. Many moms before me have seen serious diseases claim the health and lives of their families. Mine was affected by polio. Today, vaccinations for polio and many other diseases can help protect adults and children, generation after generation, mom after mom. Learn more about how to help keep your family healthy at vaccines.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie. This is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give him a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve. It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. We are now joined by Dr. Mark Sherwood. He is former Oklahoma gubernatorial candidate and spent much of his career in law enforcement and also at the Functional Medical Institute. Dr. Sherwood, happy to have you on the show today. How are you?
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Well, glad to have you, although this topic is alarming because I'm apparently in this demographic here. There's been a surge of cancer among Americans since 2022. It was an increase in 2022 that was noted, and instead of affecting older populations, infecting those under 50. What's going on here?
Well, I think we need to understand that the war on cancer is something we're getting crushed on, right? And there's nearly 2 million cases diagnosed every year, and now over 600,000 people are dying. And I think that it's probably because of our landscape or terrain of our bodies. We're getting really crushed with the toxins, pollution in the standard American diet, and our system's becoming more weak. We don't have the chance to fight back from an immune standpoint. So I think it's all total starting to take its toll on us as a society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all of these younger people especially who, you know, despite their commitment in general to more healthy eating and lifestyles, I keep seeing articles about how fast food restaurants are disappearing because the younger folks just don't want healthier options and all that. But then we see that, in fact, they're still seeing increased cancer rates among them. Obviously, that's something that they're that's being done. That's and each generation, it seems that more and more younger people are getting cancer as each generation progresses.
Well, you're right. And ultimately, I think we have to really address sort of the elephant in the room. I mean, we've seen our obesity rates go up to astronomical proportions over the last several years to now where, you know, where we got 70% of the American population being either overweight or obese. And then further, you tie that to the insulin resistant or the cardiometabolic disorders go. And we've got a recipe that our system doesn't fight anymore. And so it's created this immunosuppressant scenario that I think is not allowing us to sort of combat the development of cancers.
Well, that's certainly good news for the pharmaceutical industry, who've been, I guess, for 100 years now, working at trying to find cures for cancer, but not very successfully, it seems. They get, you know, ways to cure some of them and at least prolong others, but yeah, I remember when I was in my psychology class in, 2007, the teacher played a video where it's like cancer experts from the 70s talking about how, oh yeah, 20, 30 years, we'll have a cure for it, no problem. Obviously, that didn't happen.
No, I think the cure is something that's been staring us in the face for a long, long time. It's called living a healthy life and not getting it. You know, it's really mastering the idea of trying to figure out how to eat foods that are nutrient dense and not just calorie populated, and then trying to avoid unnecessary chemicals, trying to get plenty of exercise, get plenty of sleep, and sort of de-stress more. Those are super important points that people can indeed master, Joe.
Mm-hmm. And well, it seems to be there's active discouragement in some parts against that, like the food deserts, for example. And I remember during the Trump administration, Trump tried to actually come up with a way to get fresh food to people in the food deserts, but he was just called racist for it because it would have involved cutting food stamp benefits that would have been used to buy, you know, these chemically processed foods that are causing the health problem to begin with.
Yeah, you nailed it right there. And it's a hard discussion, but it's the truth. You know, why are we, and I'll say it, why are we abusing the people that need the most help? You know, we continue to perpetuate and control them by saying you can only have this food that is going to be unhealthy, anti-nutrition, that's going to create sickness in you. That doesn't make any sense to me. And it makes me very, a little bit angry and certainly very grievous about what we could do.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really help either that you have big corporations getting in on it and throwing their money to keep their food in those markets. Coca-Cola, for example, they tried to pressure people to say that banning sugar sodas was racist. And yeah. I
think that the real racism here is the fact that, you know, I remember seeing that these commercials, these anti-smoking commercials that say the tobacco companies were evil and racist for trying to market their products toward black communities because they knew those were good, solid customers. But then you have those same voices coming out and saying, oh, it's racist to get rid of the sugar sodas. And it's, and I guess, and it's like Coca-Cola is doing the same thing those tobacco companies did. But on the one hand, it's okay when Coke does it, but it's wrong when the tobacco companies do it.
Certainly right now you're seeing the profits over people mentality, aren't we? And big food, big pharma, big government are really wreaking havoc on the American people right now. And we're seeing it in this area, especially when you begin to become a sickly population. We're growing diseases faster than we're growing people. We talked about the cancer statistics. There's other disease states rising as well. We're in the most unhealthy state we've ever been in the history of this great land. And yet, no one is sounding the alarm bells about what got us here. So let's reverse what got us here so we don't have to deal with it anymore. How many trillions of dollars could we save off of our and carve out of our deficit if we just started living a healthy life? And the government actually gave a rip, started trying to really, cut back the subsidization, stop being controlled by the lobbyists, which are big pharma, we would be better off.
Unfortunately, big pharma has a lot of money to play with, especially after the pandemic, where they had these nice fat government contracts for the vaccines. And now they're talking about, what, putting vaccines in our food, edible versions of vaccines, too. And they're talking about doing this mRNA vaccine stuff, not just for COVID, but for anything out there.
Yeah, we're indeed heading down that pathway. And again, I don't think anybody understands fully the ramifications of the mRNA technology. I mean, we kind of get an idea about what it might do, and I think you're starting to see glimpses of what may happen. But I don't think we've seen the end of that story for probably decades. And you're right about that. You know, when big pharma is getting bigger and getting more controlling, they become more dominant in the landscape of the ability to sort of shift narratives. And they've done that. You know, they're advertising right now, and we're one of the few countries that do this, that they're advertising on radio, TV, mainstream media. They buy that airtime, and it interrupts our radio programs. It interrupts our sports events. And yet we can stop that as a nation. If you stop that thing right there as one good concrete act, you would stop the indoctrination of our society and put the education back on people that really knew what they're doing. At least some physicians, I think, still do it. Try to educate people on the cons and the pros of various medications around the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and also part of it, too, is just... I'm going to have to admit it. We do run big pharma ads on this program, but at the same time, we're not afraid to just, you know, blast big pharma out of one hand and take their money with the other. But then the problem is, though, a lot of big media companies actually are afraid because they don't want to lose that ad money.
I think that, we got to make a living, and I get that. It's a free country. You know, big pharma can advertise as long as they can advertise, but, you know, I'm with you. Equal airtime should be given to the opposite side of the coin. And to me, that's good journalism. You know, it's giving people every angle of every issue in an unbiased manner so that they can make the best decision for their family. And, you know, some people want to take the vaccine, some people don't. Hey, that's on you, man. But they need to know both sides of the story.
Right. Dr. Mark Sherwood, appreciate you being on the Silk Road Joe Show today. Again, listeners, he's a former Oklahoma gubernatorial candidate and spent much of his career in law enforcement and also at the Functional Medical Institute. And we've got more programming coming up after this break where entirely possible you will hear a big pharma commercial. I don't know. I don't actually schedule them. I just put them in. But more Silk Road Joe Show after this break.
This is sponsored by Novartis. September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, an opportunity to educate people about the second most common cancer in men. Most men living with prostate cancer are familiar with their PSA, or prostate-specific antigen level. There is another important biomarker to know about, PSMA, or prostate-specific membrane antigen. PSMA is found in more than 80% of men with prostate cancer. Both PSA and PSMA can help doctors diagnose and track the progression of prostate cancer. When the disease advances and spreads to other parts of the body and remains unresponsive to hormone treatment, it is called metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer, MCRPC. Pluvicto, Lutetium Lu 177 Vipivetide Tetraxetan, is a type of targeted therapy for patients with mCRPC that attaches to PSMA and delivers radiation treatment directly to kill PSMA-positive tumor cells. Visit www.treatpc.com for more information. Indication: Pluvicto is a radiopharmaceutical used to treat adults with an advanced cancer called prostate-specific membrane antigen-positive metastatic castration-resistant prostate cancer, PSMA-positive mCRPC, that has spread to other parts of the body, metastatic, and has already been treated with other anti-cancer treatments. Important safety information. What is the most important information I should know about Pluvicto? Use of Pluvicto involves exposure to radioactivity. Long-term accruing radiation exposure is associated with an increased risk for cancer. To minimize radiation exposure to others following administration of Pluvicto, limit close contact, less than 3 feet, with household contacts for 2 days or with children and pregnant women for 7 days. Refrain from sexual activity for 7 days and sleep in a separate bedroom from household contacts for 3 days, from children for 7 days, or from pregnant women for 15 days. Pluvicto may cause serious side effects, including low level of blood cell counts. Tell your doctor right away if you develop any new or worsening symptoms, including tiredness or weakness, pale skin, shortness of breath, bleeding or bruising more easily than normal, or difficulty stopping bleeding, frequent infections with signs such as fever, chills, sore throat, or mouth ulcers. Kidney problems. Tell your doctor right away if you develop any new or worsening symptoms, including passing urine less often or passing much smaller amounts of urine than usual. Before you receive Pluvicto, tell your doctor if any of these apply to you. You have low level of blood cell counts, hemoglobin, white blood cell count, absolute neutrophil count, platelet count. You have or have had tiredness, weakness, pale skin, shortness of breath, bleeding or bruising more easily than normal, or difficulty stopping bleeding, or frequent infections with signs such as fever, chills, sore throat, or mouth ulcers, possible signs of myelosuppression. You have or have had kidney problems. You have or have had any other type of cancer or treatment for cancer, as Pluvicto contributes to your long-term cumulative radiation exposure. You are sexually active, as all radiopharmaceuticals, including Pluvicto, have the potential to cause harm to an unborn baby. You should use effective contraception for intercourse during treatment with Pluvicto and for 14 weeks after your last dose. Pluvicto may cause temporary or permanent infertility. Before administration of Pluvicto, you should drink plenty of water in order to urinate as often as possible during the first hours after administration. The most common side effects of Pluvicto include tiredness, dry mouth, nausea, low red blood cell count, loss of appetite, changes in bowel movements, constipation or diarrhea, vomiting, low blood platelet count, urinary tract infection, weight loss, abdominal pain. These are not all of the possible side effects of Pluvicto. Call your doctor for advice about side effects. You're encouraged to report negative side effects of prescription drugs to the FDA. Visit www.fda.gov/medwatch or call 1-800-FDA-1088. Please see full prescribing information for Pluvicto available at www.treatpc.com.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean, and there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Well, government shutdowns, am I right? Yeah. It seems that anytime these happen or are threatened, Republicans are the ones who end up taking the loss on it. And, of course, we're always led to believe that Republicans are the instigators behind it. Yeah, it's the left, it's never a case of if Democrats would stop spending our money like a gold digger, then we wouldn't have to shut down the government. Instead, it's always Republicans are evil for using the shutdown to slow down our $30 trillion debt pile-on. It's like the media thinks Republicans are evil for trying not to bankrupt the company as, or the country as fast as humanly possible. You know, we're giving billions to Ukraine at a time when our own bases, military bases, have horrid conditions for the enlisted, like 17th century conditions. And, you know, Biden is setting up a gun control office to figure out more ways to ban the Second Amendment by attrition, that while we're allegedly having this huge debt problem. So is it any wonder Republicans threaten to shut down the government? What good is it doing anybody? It's not even helping the military at this point. Again, look at the squalor that they're kept in, while the government seems to just be a way to soak up taxpayer money and send it off to Ukraine or wherever. So, I bet that $1 billion, latest $21 billion or whatever the latest figure is, you know, some, I really should just one day check out how much money we have sent total to Ukraine, because it seems like every week we've got another $8 billion or $20 billion going over there. It's got to be more than $100 billion at this point. Where's it all going to? They're either stalemating or losing the war with Russia right now. And, you know, the best they can do is claim that they took out the Black Sea Commander fleet, which is unverified and probably unverifiable. But, like, that's it. That's all they've got. They've got marginal territory gains and marginal territory losses. Nothing's really shifting one way or another, and they're losing a lot, in fact, the Ukrainians are. Meanwhile, Russia, they're finally, seems like they're getting their feet under them and at least getting their manufacturing going. So they're going to eventually just outdo the Ukrainians by sheer numbers. And we're supposed to keep funding that? And what are we funding over there anyway with Zelensky, right? We're told that this is protecting democracy, but what does Ukraine have right now? It's not democracy. Zelensky banned the opposition party, suspended elections. He banned a major religion. He banned opposition journalists. How is any of that democratic? Well, okay, it is democratic in the Democratic Party sense of the term, but it's not at all democracy in the traditional sense, yet we're told that we need to keep sending him money so that he can line his pockets and some few pennies out of the billions we send actually make it to the front lines. It's like they're trying to just get as much money laundered out of Ukraine as possible before it collapses, and that's why we keep sending our own taxpayer money by the billions. No wonder Republicans and Democrats are in favor of it, and it's only a few that wanted to hold it up, that funding, in order and shut down the government over it. But again, getting back to this topic of the government shutdowns and all that, Democrats want us to fund everything that we can't fund. Even though, like, we don't have the money for this stuff, but they keep saying we have to fund it. You're evil if you don't. And then the media, they join in and pile on too. We need to keep spending and spending and spending. Otherwise, everyone from Ukrainian citizens to poor Americans to the military suffers. And Republicans always cave in. No cuts are made. We continue spending. Again, does the media think that we have unlimited money? Can they just not count to 30 trillion? I believe that. I don't think journalists are particularly bright people. You don't have to be a stenographer. So maybe this is, though, what they want, and maybe they are thinking about it. I mean, is it any coincidence that they always paint Republicans as evil, that they paint any effort at responsible spending and not destroying the country as evil and callous? No, it's not. You pretty much have to be a communist dedicated to destroying the country to pass journalism courses these days. Stenographers for the DNC, free-thinking discouraged. If you hear a positive story on a Republican, it's because they think there's something in it for them, or they were ordered to, and journalists do not question orders. They're better at taking orders than waiters. They make the Marine Corps look like Woodstock by comparison. So it's no wonder then that the Republicans get really bad press for these government shutdowns. But the Republicans themselves, they don't seem to know what to do with them, because they never come out on top, and they should know that going in. But even if, despite the bad press coverage, they got something in return, that would be worth it. But they doesn't seem like they ever do. Or if they do get something in return, it's so minor and infinitesimal compared to what they were hoping for that it wasn't even worth it to begin with. A Pyrrhic victory. So what is their goal with this? Is it because Trump is the front runner and they want to throw the 2024 election, so they're just going to sabotage it themselves? I'm not surprised. They did that for the 2022 election, midterm elections. They did their best to sabotage those. And remember, the Trump candidates, Trump-backed primary candidates, and the candidates that were least likely to be controlled by the GOP establishment, when they started winning the primaries, the GOP establishment said, oh, well, 2022, the elections are lost. We're going to, if we pick up a seat, it's going to be like one or two, maybe. That's what they said after these primary victories. Very popular primary victories, by the way. So the GOP establishment tamped down the enthusiasm themselves. They didn't want to win the election. And they have big mouths like Lindsey Graham coming out saying, oh yeah, if we win, we're going to get rid of abortion. That was a major issue last year, and polls show most Americans do support it in some way or another, even if it's only up to 15 weeks, or if it's up to, two-thirds of the way through the third trimester. Cause polls showed that, what was throwing my brain there is that polls showed two-thirds of voters, or at least two-thirds of Democrats, favored abortion up to two-thirds of the way through the process, and I was mixing my two-thirds there, so because it just didn't seem, I'd never considered that it was two-thirds for the two-thirds before. Anyway, so abortion, bans are not particularly popular among everybody, but then you have Lindsey Graham come out, he's one of the establishment types, and he says, oh yeah, if we get control of Congress, we're just going to ban it all. Democrats are absolutely right, we're going to ban all abortion, so don't vote for us. That's pretty much what he said. That last part I added, but the rest he did say that they would ban abortion if they got into Congress. So, really giving fuel for the fire there, fire up the Democrat base, and not fire up his own base, because that is not actually something that's popular among Republicans, this idea of a universal abortion ban. So, they really just sabotaged the midterm elections. So, would it be surprising that if the government shutdown was designed to, or government shutdown fights are designed to sabotage Republicans in the future? Who knows? It's entirely possible. I would not be surprised, because these guys in charge of the party right now would rather have a very small and loyal group that loses to Democrats than a group that actually gets something done but is hard to control. And gee whiz, just look at the spending that the RNC does, right? They don't do much spending on campaigns that are, you know, going to have tough challenges if those campaigns are ran by candidates that the RNC doesn't approve of, because they're too free-thinking and too likely to get stuff done. And the RNC does spend a lot on itself, a lot on fundraising dinners, a lot on just wasting all sorts of money on trips and stuff like that. Just really severely wasteful. It's like they're soaking up your money. They're saying, oh, fund us to fight the Democrats or whatever. And then when they actually get your money, they spend it like it's not theirs, which it really isn't. They're just soaking it up from you. You know, they spend it on private flights, wardrobes, big, lavish fundraising dinners that don't actually raise much money or much interest, and they're just ways for the establishment to make itself feel good about itself. Okay, they waste your money a lot on lavish lifestyles. And gee whiz, look at the RNC chairwoman. I'm pretty sure some of that plastic surgery she's had came at our dime. So donating to them is a dead end, but that's the kind of thing that they want to keep going. That's why they hate Trump, because he represents the people actually taking power back from the establishment. They don't like that. They don't want that to happen. Are you kidding? Ronna McDaniel might miss another plastic surgery if Trump wins and the people realize that the RNC are a bunch of establishment crooks soaking up money. And note their record of delivering on their promises. The RNC is very poor on that. You know, when Republican candidates, especially the ones backed by the establishment, get in, they don't do anything except make backroom compromises with the Democrats, and then, you know, instead of doing what the Democrats want immediately, they just do it 2 years down the line and say, oh, look, that's a victory. And meanwhile, they get nothing in return. Okay, that's hardly what we should be sending our money to support, especially if we actually believe what Democrats are doing is wrong. So get our money out of this pit. And, you know, like I said, the government shutdowns, bringing it back to that topic, come full circle, because we're about to run out of time for this segment. It's worthless. hey, Republicans have been doing this kind of stuff for 10 years now, and never has it really worked. It's always led to the same sort of, you know, either a weak Pyrrhic victory or, you know, a total failure. And maybe that's what they're going for this time, because, again, look how popular Trump is. Trump's so popular that Joe Biden is supporting Ron DeSantis when he attacks Donald Trump, okay? That's how messed up the situation is right now. So where are you going to send your money? Who are you going to support? The guys that the Democrats shake hands with, or the guys who are against them? More Silk Road Joe Show after this.
AI technology is going to have a profound benefit for all of society, but in particular, it will have a beneficial impact for small businesses. In fact, a new report by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce looked at the impact of technology on small business. And what we found was that one quarter of small businesses are already using AI, with 40% looking to use it in the future. Some of those uses will be marketing and promotions, or helping small businesses communicate with customers and find new customers in the future. We see a 12% jump between businesses that use AI and those that don't in terms of a likelihood of profitability. But when it comes to technology at large, 75% of small businesses say that tech helps them compete with larger companies. It's also important that we get risk-based regulation to help small businesses understand the rules of the road, but help individuals trust this new technology that will benefit us all. If you want to learn more about the work at the U.S. Chamber on Technology, or our new Responsible AI Business Leadership Initiative, please visit us at uschamber.com.
In 2021, New York Times bestselling author Victoria Aveyard introduced Realmbreaker, the first book in an epic fantasy adventure series. Realmbreaker and its highly anticipated sequel, Bladebreaker, both debuted at number one on the New York Times bestsellers list. Now, readers can enjoy Bladebreaker in paperback. The fight for Allward is far from over. Queen Erida continues her march through Allward, crumbling castles and conquering kingdoms with an unstoppable army. Forced to raise an army of their own, Corraine and her companions face perilous lands, dangerous mercenaries, and seething monsters. But will they be strong enough to confront the latest evil that Queen Erida has unlocked? Author Victoria Aveyard.
Bladebreaker has all the twists and turns, magic and action that readers enjoyed from Realmbreaker. This time, the fate of the world is at stake, and Corraine must defeat Queen Erida's wicked forces to become the hero she's destined to be.
Bladebreaker is now available in paperback, wherever books are sold.
Recent news reports are raising the alarm about illegal, disposable vapes in kid-enticing flavors that are pouring in from China. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan.
I lost my firstborn son, Drew, to an overdose, a tragedy no parent should experience. The FDA has started taking action against illegal, disposable vapes that could contain deadly fentanyl. Now, they need to get every one of these out of our communities.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy, and I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Heart valve disease is more common than you or your doctor may think, especially as you get older. It's serious but treatable with the proper diagnosis. If you or a loved one are experiencing shortness of breath, fatigue, chest tightness or pressure, dizziness or fainting, talk to your doctor and ask for an echocardiogram to get diagnosed early and enjoy your best quality of life. Learn more at askforecho.com. That's ask4echo.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. We're in the last hour of the program. So, you know, if you found our website by Googling MainStreetRadioNetwork.com, good luck, because Google biases their search results against conservatives. We've been talking about that plenty of times. But right now, they've thrown their weight behind the Joe Biden's presidential campaign with the way their search biases goes. When you look up any Republican candidates or Democrat candidates or whatever, like RFK Jr., you know, it's usually biased toward Joe Biden in some way, the results are. And you know, I wonder why Google's throwing their weight behind him. You know, old white man who calls famous black actors boy, like Joe Biden did the other day. I guess if that's what Google wants to put their weight behind, go for it. But I don't see that as reflecting the company's image too well. But joining us to talk about their bias, we have Dan Schneider, Vice President of the Media Research Center's Free Speech America. Dan, always happy to talk with you. How are you today?
Joe, I'm doing great. Thanks a lot.
So could you break down further for us what's going on with these Google search results, how they're actually jigging them to help Joe Biden?
Yeah, people don't realize how politicized Google really is. Of all the tech platforms, it's probably the very worst. And we've been exposing Google for quite a while, trying to show what they do. So just recently, right before the Republican presidential debate last night, we did three different searches on a clean computer, so no search history, no cookies, to get honest results. And we searched for Democrat presidential candidate websites. And of course, Joe Biden popped up as the first search result. When you did the same thing for Republicans, you'd expect to see Trump and DeSantis and all that. Instead, Google only gave two options for presidential campaign websites. The first was for Marianne Williamson, who of course is a Democrat, and the second was for Will Hurd, who is polling at 0%. Google is intentionally hiding the Republican presidential campaign website while promoting Biden. And this we see time and time again. We've done these sorts of studies over and over, and it just shows how politicized Google is, and it's manipulating search results for Americans all over the country specifically to try to promote a left-wing agenda.
Yeah, just when, for example, for the Alan Nathan show, one of my jobs with that is to get some sound clips for that show. And whenever I do that, I'm like, okay, this clip, it's probably damaging to Democrats what I'm looking for, so I better not do it on Google. I'm not going to find it. I better go over to Bing or something. And I've just been seeing this kind of bias. I've been doing this for Alan for 10 years now, and I've just this entire time I've been seeing a bias of some sort.
Yeah, there's a researcher named Robert Epstein, who's a self-proclaimed Democrat who voted for Hillary, but he's an honest researcher. He's been investigating this for a number of years now, and he estimates that anywhere, you know, up to 8 or more million votes every presidential election cycle swing toward the Democrats because of Google's tactics. So this is very intentional on Google's part. It's run by a bunch of radical lefties who are trying to destroy America.
Yeah, now, how is, you know, for all the talk about election meddling by Republicans and all that, how is this not tampering in elections to hide information from millions of people? And it's a private company that's doing that sort of thing. And they don't seem to care whether or not the information they're hiding is true or not.
Well, they get away with it because the legacy media likes the results that Google gets. the results, meaning liberals are elected to the presidency, to Congress, to the Senate, you know, as governors, state AGs, et cetera. You know, we all know legacy media is run by liberals, and they like what Google achieves. So, you know, Google gets away with it. Nobody else is holding them accountable.
Mm. And I guess at this point, too, with Google's infiltration of every, you know, most computers and even having their own sort of computers and even phone services, they've got a lot of money to play with here. It's not like, what could we do to hold them accountable? Because just a handful of people boycotting them, you know, good luck with that, because it's a worldwide organization.
Yeah. I'm a conservative. I so rarely think the government is ever the answer or the solution to a problem. But in this case, it is the answer. We need our federal government, we need state AGs taking action, because Google has essentially declared war against America. And we can talk about free market solutions, but Google is now essentially a monopolist, and it can't have it both ways. It can't claim, you know, that as a private entity, it should be able to do whatever it wants, and then at the same time spend millions, tens of millions of dollars influencing elections and not have to register with the FEC as campaign donations. It's wrong on both accounts, and it can't try to claim, you know, protection in both ways.
Yeah, and there's a lot to wonder about Google's ties and loyalties as well. I remember, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, where it came out that Google were asked by the military by the American government, hey, could you help us with some stuff for our drones or whatever? And Google says no, because we have high standards of morality and ethics. But then at the same time, they're helping the Chinese government censor search results for their population. And I can't help but imagine that some of the algorithms they worked on in China are being used against us.
You're exactly right, Joe. They've given the stiff arm to the U.S. military as we try to protect ourselves against, you know, China, Russia, Iran, et cetera. Yet they help the Chinese do their stuff. Let's keep in mind, this is the same corporation. You know, the day after Donald Trump was elected president, had a company-wide cry fest where the senior leadership of Google, you know, told all the employees, you know, that we were going to get through this together, and a corporate entity bemoaning the fact that Donald Trump had just been elected. Google, you know, Google has spent millions and millions of dollars on campaigns. You know, they set up a parallel office next to Hillary Clinton's campaign office to help her get elected in 2016. So this is a politicized corporation with politicized leadership who use all of their resources to push a hard left agenda.
Mm-hmm. And it's ironic, too. These are the same folks who were, against the Citizens United decision, because they said we can't have mega donors and super corporations and all this money in politics, but here they are doing exactly that.
You know, you're right, and what they want to do is reduce the amount of money that people can donate so that they've got a monopoly on influencing people in elections, because they'll use their money, not giving to candidates, but using their power and resources to manipulate the minds of Americans.
Mm-hmm. Dan Schneider, Vice President of the Media Research Center's Free Speech America, appreciate you being on the Silker Joe Show to discuss this. Listeners, appreciate you tuning in for this hour of the program. And again, our website, mainstreetmedianetwork.com. Maybe use Bing to find it instead of Google. And also social media, Getter, GETTR.com, at Silker Joe Show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.